Well, good morning. Nice to be with you here again. And we are continuing our study on, I guess, the topic is practical Christianity. Practical Christianity. And this time around, we've been going over the beginning and the end. So the beginning of life and at the end of life. And today, well, last week, we were considering, as we started looking at the end of life, and how, you know, we really can't choose. We definitely can't choose the beginning. I mean, nobody has control over who their parents are, where they're born, when they're born. All those things come directly from God. And we took a look at those things. But the same is true for how we end. Now, we could say things, as we touched on before, with things like suicide. And people think that they can determine the very end of things. But think of all the suicides that fail. Think of all the times that people think they have extra time and they don't. The Lord actually chooses that end time or allows certain things to be successful, which ends poorly. But in reality, it is the Lord that chooses the end, even though we think we have a lot more control over that one, because we're here. Before we weren't, and God brought us there, but really we should be dependent upon Him for the end, because we were totally dependent upon Him for the beginning. We were considering from Scripture, and we want to look at all these from Scripture, not my own opinions of them and how things are, but what the Bible has to say about them. And we were considering towards the end of life, or even while we're alive, what the Bible says about donating organs and giving blood and donating our body to science. And let's pray before we go into things today. Lord, will you please come and will you make things clear? Lord, may this be what's in your word and not what I'm saying. Will you please, Holy Spirit, come and will you breathe life on these things? And may there be a fresh look at what your word says and your heart on these topics. We love you, Holy Spirit. Please open these things up to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we were talking about, last week we ended with all those things while we're alive, you know, giving blood and donating organs and all those types of things, because while you're alive, we can do those things as well. Now, there was a kid in college that I knew of. He was a bit odd, and he signed up for all sorts of experiment things to make some money. So we had like little bits frozen on his back as they tested his back with sort of things and then froze it off and took the chunks out. So we had these marks all over his back. He had, you know, bald spots on his arms for where they had tried this or that, and was actually signing up for some kind of heart medication treatment thing, which was going to pay him, I don't know, a couple thousand back then, which would be even more thousands today. And I know that they need test subjects to test those things, but that's a really big caution. I mean, really, I'd say he was shortening his life. He was making some horrible decisions and doing quite some foolish thing, and he was just happy with the money. Now, there's plenty of people out there that are like on the verge of needing those things, and the Lord may say, go ahead, and you try these experimental things. But for someone who's in college and going through all this, to be taking heart medication when you don't need it, I don't know. He was on the edge of doing some very foolish things. And we have to be careful with the choices that we make, both during life with with all the things that have to do with our body, But when there's that card that you have in your license, you have your license, and on the back it says, you know, will you donate your bodies to science? Or I wonder what exactly it says. Better check. I looked a couple weeks ago, but now it's not fresh on my mind. But I want to check the wording. I was interested to make sure. I hereby make an anatomical gift. And you sign it. And that's talking about after you die, they take all the organs and things that they may need for possibly other people. But could be a lot of other things too. I took the liberty to look up some of those things. I mean, you could end up with someone practicing on you, which is necessary also. You know, we're doctors coming up and things like that, and they do need, but that's one of the things. There's a medical museum where they have different people's parts in jars. There are different science experiments that they do with stem cells and other things that we may not even really be for. But it doesn't say to what on the back of your license. Now, there is a thing that you can fill out as you get older, a medical proxy is what it's called. And then you can be a lot more specific about what happens to your organs or what they're allowed to do or what they're not allowed to do. So you can be very specific about these things. But the caution is all of us should be careful with this. Pastor Tucker, we were talking at one of these days, and he was speaking about how last week, let me give background real quick, or this would be confusing. Last week, I spoke about having to be careful about when we actually accept other people's parts. You know, we should be prayerfully considering, especially when today there's lots of options. They can take tendons from different parts of your own body and put here, do you want one from a cadaver, someone who's passed away, and then they take that one. Do you want valves from a pig's heart? I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there, and we have to be careful. But it has to be going and asking the Lord to find out what his heart is on the issue. And Pastor Tucker even told me that he has two vertebrae in his back that are someone else's. Now, when he came to that, they said that that's what needed to happen. It wasn't an option, take another vertebrae from his own self and put it in another spot. But again, this is someone else's life that's going to come into us. This shouldn't be something taken lightly, and yet it's a very easy thing to do when it's life or death for us. And some doctor who's there is saying, look, this is what has to happen. Well, it's not what has to happen. It's what he's saying medically is what he's saying, that's all they can do. Maybe, from one doctor. And we have to pray to find out, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? Now, Pastor Tucker had a clear word from the Lord. And that word, he said to me, what came to him was, he was praying, and the Lord simply said to him, clearly, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he knew from that one phrase that the Lord was saying, like, what's going to be coming from that person into you? That's my choice. You know, that bone is what I'm choosing for you to go in. You know, that flesh is what I'm choosing for you. Now, that doesn't mean that he wouldn't have to pray for that to be cleansed and meet for his own use, just like when we're talking about when we're eating food and stuff, and it could have been sacrificed to idols, or it could have been used for something inappropriate, and the Lord says that we're to give thanks and we're to sanctify the food so that it's meet for our use. Well, the same thing's true about body parts going in. But the same thing's true about us donating our own. I mean, we want to hear clear. I mean, you can guess if you feel at peace about actually checking the box there, because someone's parts had to go into Pastor Tucker. Someone's parts go into other people. Someone's parts can save someone else. But remember, they could end up in some really wrong things too. There are some times where donating should be off the table. if someone's being kept alive just to harvest their body parts, if someone's being killed just to take their body parts, when doctors are making some choice between someone who's dying and cutting their life short and saving someone else's life, those are really difficult choices. You shouldn't be ending someone else's life just to take pieces out to give to somebody else. I mean, we have to be careful even for the what we may think are the noblest causes. I mean, it's basically, it could be murder. So there are situations where it shouldn't be. I've read now of situations where there's certain body parts that they can't wait on, so they might actually keep someone alive just to get at those body parts so that they can get them out and transfer them to another person. Now, I'm not saying that if someone said that's what they want you to do to save life, that might be totally fine. But there may also be a time where that's wrong. So with this whole issue of whether or not it's okay, I mean, it's not a sin. Clearly from Scripture, it doesn't say it's sin. But if God tells us not to do something and we do it, as we've been saying every time, that is sin. So we want to check in with Him. He may say no. Think about this. Moses' body was hidden for a certain time so that God could use his body. You know, Joseph's body, he gave instruction for what was to happen, but it was embalmed. It was kept, it was preserved so that something could physically happen with his body and it be brought into the promised land for his resurrection. See, there's things that God may have that's best for our body and what we do, and we don't even consider it. And yet, in this issue of donating, it's important. You know, it may not seem it, but we don't know what the Lord has for the end, and we need to hear those things. So don't worry if He said no. You can, I don't know, maybe get some dye-chem remover or something and erase that from the back of your license. Or if He's saying yes, I want to use you one last time to save someone else. Just think about what happened when the dead person fell into the prophet's bones in Scripture, and all of a sudden the dead became alive. You know, we want to hear from the Lord specifically. If he wants to use that, and He wants that to be the way that He saves another one of His saints, great. If not, if He has something entirely different, what if He wants to heal? What if He wants to bring someone to really come to repentance and know Him and seek Him for that healing, and yet our parts are the ones that, oh, no problem, here, just put them in, and the person never had to seek, never had to go after God. So there is a balance here. We have to be very careful. Now, if you look online, there are loads of people that say every Christian should be and giving all these things, donating their organs, doing all this stuff. And that is not true. That is not true. For each one of us, God has a purpose. God has a purpose for us living now. God has a purpose for even our bodies after. You know, just an interesting side note too, in Revelation it talks about the sea giving up its dead. We hear about martyrs and their bodies being burnt or scattered or separated, sawn asunder, everything spread about. And you wonder, can God, you know, if that happens, is that wrong? I mean, can God still use that? And the answer is yes. In Revelation, when it speaks about the sea giving up its dead with God bringing them up and things like that, you know what happens when someone actually goes into the ocean, especially deep into the ocean? Well, if you ever look at anything about the Titanic, you find out all they found is shoes. When they finally made it down to look at the Titanic, the only thing to survive of people was their shoes. I mean, sure, ocean life come and they eat the stuff that they can eat, but the bones still stay there. Well, the salt water just eats the bones. They just disappear. But you know what? The oceans still contain that person. God can still bring out what was there in. Those martyrs who are sawn under, burned, all those things, they're waiting under the table of the Lord, asking for that time when he shall bring all things into judgment. A martyr's death is not bad. It's actually a better resurrection. In Hebrews, in chapter 11, speaks about those that did not accept deliverance for a better resurrection. So at the end of our life, there's times where the Lord may be asking us to choose something that's a lot tougher, a lot more difficult, a lot more painful, so that we have a better resurrection. So, and we can choose those things. It was clear they chose that, and so can we. So, at the end of life, there are many, many things to consider. Many things in so little time. So we'll try to hit on some of these ones that are the Lord is speaking on today. So now, most people who are out there, to most people, death is a really scary thing. It's really scary. It's amazing the number of people who will not step foot in a hospital, who are afraid to go visit the people who are sick, who are terrified to even consider death. I don't have any of that. And so when I see it, I'm just amazed. When I was younger, I too, before I was saved and was walking through, I got to admit, I had trouble walking through the hospitals and smelling the smells and seeing people suffer. It's not easy. It's not fun to see that condition. But something changes when you're a Christian. Something changes when you know where you're going and what the end of life is like. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 that we are not to sorrow as others which have no hope. See, now, that doesn't say we're not to sorrow when we lose people. You know, it's okay to mourn. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to laugh. And it's okay to, because there'll be a time of separation. You know what? That's sad. Even Jesus said that when he was going to die, that the people would mourn and weep and fast and everything like that till we were together again. So there are times of mourning, which are okay. But we are not to mourn as the world. We are not to be sad as like someone who has no hope, who will never see those people again, because we will. We will be together again. And that is such hope. When we are on death's door, we are not to sorrow as others sorrow. Now, there will be times where we will be sad for things of the past, and we will mention that shortly with what the Scripture says about those things. But we're not to be sorrowful like the world, like everything is coming to an end, there will be nothing else. That is a lie. We will be, when we pass through death's door, we will be right there with the Lord. We'll be in heaven. We'll be reunited with all our loved ones. We will see the Creator of all things. You know, earth is just such, it's just such a dim picture of heaven. Such a dim picture. The best on earth doesn't even meet the worst in heaven, if there is such a thing. Let me see. Like the lowest place in heaven is so much greater than the best place on earth, it's hard to compare. And the same is true about hell. The worst place in hell isn't comparable to the best, the worst place on earth isn't even comparable to the best place in hell. It will be worse. And we are to face the end of life knowing those things. So when we're going through a hospital or we're near someone close to death, these things should be motivating factors in our heart to pray, to take comfort, to have hope, to think about the things of ourselves. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon says it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And why does he say that? It's because we consider the end. And it is good to consider the end, and that's why we're doing that. It is not wrong to be ready for the end. It's actually very, very, very important. You go to the next one there. And death, before we go into this, I want to make sure I'm on the steps here. We don't want to judge how somebody dies as being where they're going. Now, how someone dies is important. How someone dies is important. We see in Scripture, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, there are several types of death that come through judgment. Someone's body not being able to be buried. You see that with Ahab, with Jezebel, with in the where it talks about the eagles in Psalms, picking out the flesh and the eyes so that they, you know, that they're scattered. That those things can actually be a judgment. But as we see the same things, it can also be the heroic mark of a martyr. So we have to be careful with how we judge. We should judge nothing before the time, as it says in Scripture. There's a thing in Scripture where it talks about the bones being burned as being a judgment. Josiah went to the north and he burned the bones, even the bones of the false prophets and the priests of Baal that were up in the north. He dug up the bones just so that he could burn them to show that it was this judgment. And it speaks in Leviticus, I believe, also, of that the burning of bones being part of a judgment. I wrote it down, but right now in my notes, I'm like this. And yet, you're looking at in other places where someone's buried. You know, we're talking about preparation. Where someone's buried in Scripture is actually very important. And we should consider where we're to be buried. This is part of the preparation. You're looking in Kings and in Chronicles. It speaks about being buried in the sepulcher of the kings. Another one that it speaks of there is that there's this issue that we find with this old prophet and this young prophet. And the young prophet is supposed to go to the north, prophesy, and then get out of there. That's what the Lord commanded him to do. He goes to the north quickly, talks with Jeroboam, one of the kings. I don't want to get into all the kings and Chronicles. We want to see what's happening here. He goes into the north. He gives the message. The king that he says it to tries to get him to stay. And he's like, nope. Tells him, I'm not even supposed to stay here. I'm not even supposed to drink anything. I'm not supposed to eat anything. I'm out. And on his way out, he decides, hey, why don't I take a little rest under a tree? Which was a mistake. And an old prophet comes up and convinces him to stay. Gives him a false word of the Lord. And he questions what the Lord told him and stays. And then the word of the Lord comes to this old prophet who tricked him. Now it's the real word of the Lord. It says, you know, that's it. Judgment. You're not going to be, your body, your bones, will not be actually brought unto your fathers, the prophets. And as he leaves, a lion eats him, and the old prophet buries him in the north, where he was supposed to go away from, not supposed to be. And his body gets buried there. Then the old prophet says, when I die, bury my bones next to the young prophet. identifying where he was going to be, identifying his inheritance. He missed it. He missed it. And many times people, they have a family area where they go to, and that may be perfectly fine. Sometimes the Lord wants someone buried where their inheritance is supposed to be, because you see that all throughout Scripture. Joseph wanted to be in the inheritance. You know, Jacob wanted to be buried in the inheritance. Abraham wanted to be buried where his inheritance was. Joshua buried where his inheritance was. You know, those kings that died and were buried in the sepulcher of the kings, they were buried where they were intended to be, where they were going to rule and reign. And that's where we want to be. So, you know, we may have this idea that we should be buried in one place, and the Lord has this call upon us where our inheritance is in another spot. That's where we want to be. We have to be careful. I mean, we want to check with these things with the Lord. It is important where we end up buried. Other things to consider at the end of life. It's wisdom to prepare. Joseph set everything in order and even said, no, this is what you're to do with my bones. This is what you're to do afterwards. This is what's coming next. Jacob came to his sons and gave them each like a prophetic word of the Lord and pronounced things from the Lord and set things in order. We have Ahithophel, and I want to use this one as kind of an example of what it means to set things in order, even though he definitely chose wrong at the end of his life. Okay? So Ahithophel, he is this counselor of David, was called very wise. His counseling was as an angel of God, very anointed. And when he was with David, the Lord was with Ahithophel, giving him this counsel. The Lord had blessed him with the spirit of counsel that he had. And when he went off and went with the wrong leader, chose wrong, he still had the gift that the Lord gave him. The Lord gives gifts without repentance. And he took it with him. So he was still wise. And in 2 Samuel 17, he ends up committing suicide when he finally realizes everything he chose was wrong and was going to fall apart and judgment was going to come. So he does something really wise and then does something really dumb. It says, he goes home and he sets all of his house in order. Then he commits suicide. The suicide, completely dumb. Really not smart. But the Lord tells us to set things in order. Look from Hezekiah. I'm going to come back to Ahithophel because I want to look at what the origin of that word is. But look at Hezekiah. The prophet came, Isaiah, and said, the Lord says that the sickness that you have, you're going to die. Set your house in order. See, when we know we're getting close to the end, we're to set our house in order. What I did was, with the thing with Ahithophel, I wanted to see, well, what did that actually mean? And so when you look it up, it says, to intensively enjoin. Now, that's an odd word. We don't really use that one too much anymore. So let me explain. It means to instruct to do something. It also, to order, means to appoint or to give charge. It is to prescribe an action that is to be performed. So he went to his house and he actually set everything in order. He made sure the finances were good for his kids and his wife. He made sure that everything was set with his property. He made sure that he gave orders to his servants what was to happen and everything was to go. And then he ended his life horribly. That is a mistake. But the wisdom was to order, put everything in order. And that's what it meant. That's what Hezekiah was supposed to do. But since the Lord took mercy and gave him extra life, extra time, he didn't have to do those things. You know, here's another one. You know, we can live past the time that we're supposed to pass away. Hezekiah, if he would have died at that point, would have not had a single thing bad written about him. You know that? He would have died and as Scripture is concerned with him, would have been perfect like Joseph. Not a single thing's written wrong about Joseph. And to that point, Hezekiah never had anything written about him, but when the Lord gave him the extended time, because he begged, and the Lord said, I'll grant it. I see. And you have it. In those years, that extra about 15 years that he had, he ended up opening all of his house for the Babylonians to see. His son was born, who ended up turning aside. It says he got lifted up in pride in that time period. You know, when it comes to that point, sometimes we have a choice. It's amazing. Sometimes we have a choice. You know, it says in Scripture that what we ask, the Lord will give. And yet there's things that we can ask, and it says they asked, the Lord gave them their request and brought leanness into their soul. So there's things that we can ask for that the Lord will grant, and yet gives no benefit. And do you know what? Sometimes the Lord grants extra days. Sometimes the Lord grants extra days. But we have to be like Jesus. Jesus knew the end was coming. Jesus prepared for the end. He made sure that his mother was taken care of. On the cross, he said, John, take a look at your mom. Mother, take a look at your son. And he made sure they understood. John's going to take care of you. Go ahead. He gave his disciples instruction before he died. Clearly what they were supposed to do. He set things in order. And yet he knew he was going to die. And what did he do? In the garden, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But let your will be done. See, he did not want to go past the time that the Lord had set for him on this earth. But if there was still something that he could do, if there was still something that was there, if this cup could pass from him, if he didn't have to do it, if there was some other way that he could bring glory to God and continue on, he would have done that. But that's not how Hezekiah worded it, is it? So we have to be careful. You know, our lives can be cut short. The Bible speaks about that as well. We don't want to be cut short. We don't want to be here too long. We want to make sure that we're preparing for the end and that we're setting our house in order. Because we do not know when the time is. There are times where we know it's starting to come. When we're sick, when we're getting older. You know, there's sometimes it comes suddenly. Do you know what? A sudden death, even though that's what most people want. You know, that's what I've always heard from kids in school, from older people who I've talked with about death. They're like, I just want to go in my sleep, just like that. And it is the mercy of God to know the end is coming. It is a mercy of God to have a prolonged time before we die. Because we can set our house in order. Our spiritual house, not just our physical house. Matthew 24:44. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will come. Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning. Let me translate. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamp lit. Have your garments white. Be walking in righteousness. Have the light of God shining in your life until the very end. He was speaking about the end of life as the wedding feast was coming. The whole wedding feast and waiting for it, we know that's when the Lord's returning. It is applying to the end of life. Another one here is if we were to turn to about Paul in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. And if you have your Bible, I would think it would be a good thing to turn to that section. This is where Paul knows what is coming and he's writing to Timothy. He knows that his end is drawing close. And yet, he's still well, he's still walking, he still has a few years. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's take a look in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He sees it. He's speaking about his impending death. Next verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So what does this speak? He sees his present condition in verse 6. And now he's considering his life. Reflects on past. And at the end of life, the Lord many times brings things back. It is a time where, yes, we will reflect ourselves, but I want to say this, because when someone is dying, when someone is older, or you know your time is coming soon, this is important for everybody to know. Everyone must be told this. This is really important because you could miss these things. This could be missed. God is going to bring back things from earlier in your life. Why? To show His goodness. For us to give thanks. To deal with things that were undealt with before. To prepare us for dying, to set things in righteous order. To repent of things that need to be repented of. And sometimes, someone who's dying is plagued by this thing that keeps coming back into their mind and into their mind, and they think, woe is me, instead of the Lord is bringing this to the forefront of your mind so that you can deal with it right now. You can go into the eternity clean. And they miss it. Someone can miss just remembering these wonderful times that they have and never give thanks and miss out on that blessing. There were 10 lepers cleansed and only one turned to give thanks. And that one was made whole. That one was given a further blessing. And the Lord wants to give us a further blessing. He wants to bring stuff up that we did not pass the test first and bring it back and see if we can get a passing grade a second time. God is so good. Now I'm making this statement and it's a bold statement. So let's take a look at Scripture. Isaiah 46 verse 4 says, even in your old age, I want to set this up. So he's talking about your old age. This is close to the end. Verses 8 and 9. Show yourselves as men. And in Scripture, when it talks about man, men, instead of children, it's speaking about maturity and responsibility. Take responsibility. Stand up. Bring again to mind. Remember the former things. At the end, he's going to be bringing it up. He wants you to bring it up. He wants you to check with him. Look to me. Take a look at the former things. Seek to know. John 14, verse 26, talks about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He shall teach us all things. But then it says, and he shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Leviticus 4, verses 27 through 28, when a common person sins through ignorance and yet be guilty. The other verse, or if the sin come to his knowledge, he shall make sacrifice for it. At the end, the Lord is going to bring these things up to deal with this, to deal with these things so that an abundant entrance can be happened. It is His mercy. Even though it's painful to watch, it's painful to go through, so many people just want it to be over in an instant. God has His time for these things so that we can prepare. And you know what? Many people, many people have no idea that that's what God is doing at the end of their life. They just think these happy thoughts came up about what it was like when they were younger. These rough thoughts of mistakes that they made. No, it is there for a purpose that the Lord is getting at something. Psalm 143, verse 5. This psalm is speaking about a time of trouble. It's talking about, you know, not wanting to enter into a time of judgment. And it talks about the enemy coming and putting pressure. The spirit is overwhelmed. And then it says in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy words. I muse on the work of thy hands. God wants us to do this. And He does it. It's both. The Lord can bring up so much more if we're asking and cleanse us from even deep things that we may have missed out on, that we missed, that we sinned through ignorance, that we didn't know, and prepare in a special way. This is something that almost everybody is going to pass through. I say almost everybody because you look at Enoch and he was just taken up. You look at Elijah, and he was taken up in the chariot. That's a few from a whole lot of people in the Bible. But for the rest of us, we're going to have to pass through that time. And it is a time where, as we get close, we need to set our house in order. But you know what? We don't know that time. We don't know that time. The Lord sometimes can give a word that our time is coming. Sometimes the Lord gives an idea that the Lord, think of Rachel Scott with the Columbine shootings. You know what? When you look at her diary, when you see what her dad was saying, when you hear the words that she was speaking, she knew her time was short. She knew. And the Lord was speaking. Now, that's not always the case. The Lord can come suddenly in a time you don't expect. The Lord told Hezekiah, hey, guess what's coming? You're not going to come up. Isaiah died from a medical disease that hit him, some kind of sickness, it says. And that, it says, was the sickness that he was to die of. But we are to prepare. We're to prepare. We're to have things in order. We're to look upon that as there's times where there's funerals. We need to take a look and clean house and prepare ourselves again. That's why it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to the house of feasting. Because when we do go to that house of mourning, it gives us a check stop in ourselves to stop and make sure our clothes are white. Things are set in order. How's our relationship with God? And you see, in those moments, we have the opportunity to say things like, Lord, has there been sins that I have committed that you need to bring up to my mind? And He's waiting for us to do those things. And at the end of life, as we see it coming, as we're getting older, as we're reaching those ages, maybe it is sick. Maybe the Lord's diagnosed with cancer. Whatever that is, we're to prepare. Prepare, prepare. And these things are not sad. We may leave people for a time, and that we can mourn, but it's just for a time. It's just for a time. It's like having your best friend go onto the mission field. That's hard to see them go. You know, my daughter, she wouldn't mind me saying this, she was very young. Our school up here, this is a last thought. Our school up here makes it tough because she would make friends with the students and things, and then off they went, and she wouldn't see them for years and years. So there would be this adult that would make a connection with her, teach her how to play the violin, get into her life and start showing her art, get into all these things, and then they'd be gone. You know, a year later, they're gone, and she would be sad. But she'd be sad, but she'd be so happy when she saw them again. And she has been. We will see them again. We will see them again. Our sadness, our sorrow should not be that of the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much how your word speaks about the beginning and it also speaks about the end. Thank you for being the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you for giving us so many opportunities to set our house in order, to prepare ourselves for getting to see you face to face. Lord, as we come into those times where we go to the house of mourning, will you help us to remember these words? Even today, as we have discussed, as each person goes about their lives after leaving this class, including me, Lord, I cry out for it too. Will you please bring those things to remembrance that we need to set in order, that we can be prepared no matter what the time is? We love you, Lord, and thank you so much. Thank you for how your word is so practical. In Jesus' name, amen.